Amen. Please be seated. There is an outline that will go along with the message in PowerPoint if you find that helpful. Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, is addressing many, many matters. Some of these matters they had written to Paul about. Throughout several places in the letter, he references their writing to him. And actually, there is what's called the missing letter of Paul. There's a letter that he wrote to the Corinthians that's missing. We don't have record of it. We don't have anything existing of it. But he wrote to them. We have more than just 1 and 2 Corinthians. There seems to be a lost letter. So the Corinthians wrote to Paul with many questions. If you remember, as you read in the book of Acts, Paul established the church there in Corinth. He stayed there for some time, and he taught, and he helped them establish the church. And then he moved on. And he heard reports that there were some problems, there were some issues going on in the church. And he writes to them about these things, but he also receives a delegation, if you will. And they have some questions, and they bring some of the questions to Paul. And so he writes in his letter, and he addresses these matters. Here in chapter 12, Paul is addressing spiritual manifestations. In verse 1, you notice that some of the translations will say, now about the gifts of the Spirit, some may put down there, now about spiritual men or spiritual manifestations. And it's interesting, the word here is used is different than the word he uses for gifts later on. The word here is pneumaticon, and literally it simply means spirituals, plural, spirituals. So what he's referring to is spiritual manifestations, spiritual expressions of different people versus grace gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. And that word is charisma. It's a plural of the word grace, charis. And so in verse 4, he uses this specific word about the gifts, different kinds of gifts. It's the word charisma. Why is that important? It's because he's making a distinction first between manifestations of spirit in the spiritual realm that may be of the human spirit, or it may be of the unholy spirit. And he's making a distinction between that, manifestations of those things, versus the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. What if we were here in church, and let's just say that we finished one of the worship songs like we did this morning, and the beautiful music and the beautiful worship of the Lord through music and through song. And just, I think it's appropriate to give a plug and a thank you for the worship team. They're always working so hard here practicing so that they can lead us well. Amen? We appreciate you guys very, very much. Well, what if we finish one of those worship songs and we're clapping? Can you guys clap with me? Just kind of pretend. And all of a sudden somebody says, Jesus be cursed! We'd be like, huh? What in the world? Well, that's happening in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, look, you guys know somehow when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols. You were led astray to these idols that are nothing but behind them are unholy spirits. And they influenced you. They spoke through you. They put things into your mind and into your mouth. And Paul wants us to understand that there is a distinction between spiritual manifestations that are of the flesh or of the unholy spirit versus true spiritual manifestations, grace gifts of the Holy Spirit. Most of all, he wants to explain that these grace gifts are given for the common good. In other words, they're given for the whole body to build the body up, the building up of others. And watch this. He wants us to know that the Lord wants us, each one of us, to use our particular gifts. He wants to use me. He wants to use you in whatever gift he has given to you to help people to grow, to help people to become disciples, to help people to grow as disciples, to help people be healed as disciples, to help people become more steadfast, more productive. We help others become disciples and grow as disciples so that they in turn can grow and help others to become disciples as well. And so the circle continues. We don't just make disciples for the sake of making disciples here. We do it so that we in turn can send people out to impact and influence in their own lives. It's the whole body being built up. This is what Paul wants to explain. And so the main point of the message today is this, that the various grace gifts that he's given to us by the indwelling Spirit are tools, special abilities that we have for ministry. God has given these for us for ministry. Let us use them. Let us embrace our gifts. Let us use them for the building up of other people, to help disciple them, to grow them, to enable them to be what God wants them to be. And they, in turn, will do the same. Now, I have to ask the question because, as I said, these grace gifts are given by the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers you to use them. So I have to ask the question, have you received the indwelling Spirit of Christ? If you don't know Christ, if you have never asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, then you don't have the Spirit of God. It tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the ones who belong to Christ have the Spirit of Christ within them. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life to Him, if you've not invited Him to come and be a part, guess what? You don't have the Spirit of God. But it doesn't have to stay that way. The Spirit of God is given for every one of us. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know it well. For God so loved the world. What does that mean? It means everybody. God so loved you. God so loved me. God so loved you and you and you and you and the world of everyone that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And by the way, that begins now. It doesn't begin when you die. Everlasting life means a different kind of life. That life begins now. It's life in the Spirit. It's a new life walking with Jesus Christ. I don't know why anybody would want to walk through this life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, this world is brutal. This world is hard. Not very friendly out there. There's not a lot of encouragement. There's not a lot of hope out there. And the Lord promises us that I will walk with you through this life. Whatever you go through, I will be with you. In fact, He even promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Even if you are faithless, if you come to a point where you just get off track and you become faithless in your relationship with the Lord, He still is faithful. He still is faithful. The Lord is ready and willing to receive everyone. So if you haven't received Christ, today is a day. Later on, I'll give you an opportunity to pray and to invite Jesus Christ into your life. In the last book of the Bible, the very last book, by the way, that tells us what's going to happen in the days ahead. What is now, and what is yet to come. And it says in chapter 3, Jesus says, I stand at the door. Watch this. I stand at the door and I knock. Now, when you hear somebody knocking at the door, what do? Some of you all lay on the couch and don't respond, do you? I know it's true. The evangelism team that went out a few weeks ago, we knew it was true because we heard people in there. There was TVs going and we were knocking on the door and we didn't get any response. I think they saw us through the window and said, oh, man. It's those Jesus freaks again. Get out of here. But Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears me, hears my voice, hears me knocking and opens the door, I will come in and I will fellowship with you. I will have a relationship with you, and you will have a relationship with me. I believe the Spirit of Christ is here today, and He is knocking on hearts. He is saying to you, if you don't know Christ, I want to know you. I want to walk with you through life. I want to forgive your sins. I want to give you new life as you invite me in and turn your life over to me. Repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Amen? That's what He wants for us. So, once we have dealt with that and the Holy Spirit comes in, He pours out His gifts and His power in our lives. And we have what's called grace gifts. This is what I've used where it says spiritual gifts. And here's why. I'll show you. If you could pull that up for me, Randy, on the next slide. Well, maybe I didn't put it on there. Shame on me. But you can go back up to 1 Peter 4. So, grace gifts, as I said, are translated charisma, right? It's the plural of the word charis, which is, oh, there it is, thank you. I knew I had it on there somewhere. It's plural of the word grace. And so, again, literally means graces, plural. The gifts that we're talking about here, the abilities, the tools that God gives to you and me, come out of His grace that He has given to you. The grace He has poured into your life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the unmerited goodness and blessing and favor of God that He gives to us, and these gifts come out of His grace. And so they are called charisma, plural, graces or grace gifts. That makes sense? And in verse 4, this is what he used. He begins to talk about these gifts. And then he says in verse 7, this manifestation, this making visible of the invisible, making visible of the visible is given for the common good. It's given for you, it's given for me to profit us, to be good, to be advantageous for all. These are just some of the introductory parameters that I want to say. What does that mean? Excuse me. It means that the grace gifts of the Spirit are given to us so that we can minister to others. We can minister to other people in ways that are effective. In ways that are effective. We give them grace so that they can be built up, so that they can be strengthened, so that they can be encouraged and exhorted sometimes. Needs are met so that others can grow in their discipleship. As I shared this last week in my introduction on this, think of the time that you came to Christ. Someone reached out to you. Right? Someone, somewhere along the line, reached out to you. Now, it may have been your parents as a young child. It may have raised you and brought you up in the faith and at some point told you of your need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your parents were using their gifts, their abilities that God had given to them. Or, if you're like me, you may have come to Jesus Christ later in life, and someone took the time and cared enough to come and speak with you. I can remember the first person who spoke to me. His name was Al. Our church had a coffee house night. This was back in the 70s, 1970s. Ancient history. Very ancient. I may be old, but I'm not obsolete. Al was one of the men who was leaders there in the coffee house ministry. And I was down there shooting pool, cutting up, causing trouble, I'm sure. As I told you, they used to call me Tommy the Terror. And Al took the time to take me and a couple of other young men that were there that night and ask us a question. And here's the question he asked. He said, have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Isn't that awesome? You see, our tendency is to avoid that. And I understand that sometimes it can be a little daunting and you may not feel comfortable doing that, but some of you, listen, some of you here are gifted with the gift of evangelism or the gift of encouragement or the gift of exhortation. These are gifts that are listed here, and some of you will be effective in reaching others for Christ. But it's like anything else. You've got to take that step. You've got to use that gift that God has given to you. And you know what? Al used that gift that God had given to, or at least he was trying. At the very least, he was trying. He had enough boldness in him to come and ask several young men, "Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And that began for me a journey. I didn't receive Christ that night, but it began a journey where a few years later, indeed, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I remember Al to this day. I can remember his smile. He asked us with a smile. And he said, "Think about that. If you don't know Christ, consider a relationship with him." We saw last week in my intro to the gifts, this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And I believe I'm reading that. Each one of you should use whatever gift. Oh, wait a minute. Kathy, that's something a little bit later. We're going to have you read it again. Each one of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others. Watch this. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I want to point out to you what the scripture is saying here. You and I are faithful stewards of God's grace. You ever thought of your spiritual gifts that way? The gifts, the abilities, the talents, the tools that God has given you. God wants you to be a steward of the faithful gift of grace that he has given you. You see, we don't think of it in those terms. But what we're doing is we're giving the grace of God to other people when we use our gifts. His grace is diverse. It says it's manifold. It comes in very diverse and variety. It's as much variety as there is people. Because God works uniquely through your personality and my personality. And we are all unique together. Let's break it down a little bit more. So, as we said at the beginning, number one, manifestations of the Spirit will never demean or degrade Jesus. We saw that in verse 2 and 3. Any manifestation that, like was being said there, Jesus be cursed, is obviously not of God. Who is it? Who is it from? It's from the unholy spirit, Satan and his minions. Nothing that degrades Jesus is of the Holy Spirit. We are to have discernment. We are to use the judgment that God has given us. And even one of the gifts that's mentioned is the discernment, discerning of spirits. You see, these pagans were used to this kind of thing happening all the time. So they're like, "Oh, okay, it's no big deal." Yes, it is. No one is to speak and demean and degrade Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. That is not of the Spirit, number one. Number two, there is a diversity of grace gifts that are all from the one Spirit of God. Unity within diversity. One of the problems that the Corinthians were having is they all wanted to be the same. They all wanted to be the same. And Paul talks about that a little bit later in the chapter. He says, you know, if everyone were an ear, where would the sense of seeing be? And if everyone was the nose, where would the sense of hearing be? As it is, God wants all the parts to use their abilities so that the body may function properly. There's unity within diversity. Not everybody's a hand. Not everybody's an eye. Not everybody's a nose. All the parts are important and necessary. And, by the way, it says we are to have equal concern for each other. That means I'm not going to say, "Hey, you know, I'm a mouth. In fact, I'm a big mouth." And you're just an ear. You're just a nose. See, you're not that important. No. As Paul says, if everybody was a mouth, can you imagine that? If everybody was a mouth like me, we'd have trouble. Where would the sense of hearing be? Where would the sense of smell be? If there was none, no hands and no feet, the body would not be able to accomplish what God has set out for it to accomplish. So there's equal concern. He goes as far as to say, watch this, if one part suffers, we all suffer together. If one part rejoices, we all rejoice together. That means that we should have equal concern and care for one another. There is such diversity in the gifts that Paul actually mentions several different lists. This list here is not meant to be exhaustive. There is a list in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Wanda Walters is going to read that for us.
We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If it is serving, then...
That was it, I believe. So all these diversity of gifts, we are to use them to serve, to touch people, to encourage, to build them up, to grow them in their faith, to help them. And by the way, we receive that as well. Think about it for a second. How many of you have been a recipient of encouragement? Have you received an encouraging note? I know there's some people here that faithfully send encouraging notes. Miss Nell does it. She's not even able to come to service, but she does it. And it's a beautiful thing. You see, they're using their gifts, even though they're not able to be here, they do it that way. It's wonderful. How many of us have been the recipient of a rebuke, an exhortation? We've needed a good kick in the pants. We all need that sometimes, right? We all need that. Then we have people that teach and that share the word. How many of us have received from the Lord revelation? We've been taught the word, and somewhere along the line, the light has come on, and we're like, wow, I need to know Jesus, and I need to grow in Jesus, and I'm not going to grow by looking at the TV and the internet all day long. I've got to get into the Word, and I've got to read the Word. And somewhere along the line, one of our teachers has challenged you, men or women. They've taught us, get into the Word if you want to grow. Amen? That's how we grow. So we've received the benefit of these gifts as well. Guess what? You've received grace. You have received grace as God has used those people in their giftedness. Number three. The Spirit determines what gifts are given to us. The Spirit determines what gifts are given to us. Look with me at verse 11. All of these gifts are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one of us just as He determines. You see it? The Spirit gives those to us. He determines them. How does He do that? He uniquely works through our personality and our passion with the gifts that He's given to us. Now, I believe that every one of us has at least one spiritual gift. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have at least one spiritual gift. Most of us have what's called a gift mix. We have several gifts that work together in the way that God wants you to do His work, His ministry. Here's a word from Dr. A.B. Simpson, our founder, about this whole thing. Every disciple of Jesus Christ will have some special manifestation of the Holy Spirit, some gift for spiritual service, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the common good. And then he says this, you with me? Say amen. Hold on to your seat here. There is no place for the idler, and there is no excuse for the fruitless Christian. Ouch. In other words, as Dr. A.B. Simpson in his day, and he's writing in the late 1800s, he's saying every one of us needs to understand what our gifts are and use them, because God wants to use us in the ministry. And as we do that, the whole body is built up, disciples are grown, people come to Christ, and we find the joy of the Lord as we see people grow, as we see people come to Christ. I also need to say two more things on this. Spiritual gifts are not a measure of our spirituality. They are not a measure of our spirituality. We know that there are gifted people that can live very carnal lives. They can live very carnal lives. In fact, we have seen it over the decades where there have been very gifted people that have fallen into sin. And even having done that, their gifts are still there. You see, so it's not a measure of our spirituality. No, it says it's given to us. Chapter 4, verse 7 of Corinthians. It says, what do you have in your life that you have not received from the Lord? What have you have that you've not received? So therefore, there is to be no boasting, because everything comes from God, and all glory and honor goes to Him. Amen? All glory and honor goes to Him. Even when we use our gifts, whatever the effect may be, whatever God accomplishes through us and through our gifts, all the glory and the honor goes to Him. I want to also say this before I move on to number 4. We do not believe that any one spiritual gift is the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence or the Holy Spirit's filling. Not any particular gift. In fact, it tells us in verses 27 through 31 that the Holy Spirit is the one that determines, and that we are all different. I'm going to read that passage real quick. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, and of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Then he asks the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. See, he's trying to make it clear to us that the Spirit determines what gift you and I get, and there is to be no boasting, no taking this as I'm something extra special. No, no, no. All the gifts are important, every one of us. Number 4, we are to each use our gifts to minister to other people, building them up, giving them grace. Giving them grace. Now, at this point, Kathy, would you read that scripture again for us?
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Every one of us should use our gifts. There are people here that week in, week out, are using their gifts to serve the Lord faithfully. We have a wonderful AV team. Week in, week out, they're here serving. And they don't always get much attention, and I'm giving kudos to them today. Wonderful team. The worship team I already mentioned. There are others that faithfully serve. Nursery workers. That's a labor of love. Amen? You wouldn't want me in the nursery. You know, when I get around little kids that are out of order, I turn into Gestapo. You know, that's not a good place for me. But I'll serve in there. If there's a need, I'll serve. Every week, week in and week out, people come and use their gifts. And you know, it's not just here. It's not just in the context of this service or the body. I shared some of Bob Benner's story last week, and he's got more to his story and his testimony. So, Bob, would you share what God has been doing in your life?
Good morning. My usual weekly routine is I go across on Friday mornings and do our family grocery shopping at the same store that I've been going to for about 10 years. And then on Monday, I stop at the same store and pick up food for a food pantry and take the food from there to the food pantry. So about four Fridays ago, I was in there doing our grocery shopping and no big deal. But when I got home, and all during the weekend, I kept getting this message, this thought that there was one of the people who was my contact, one of the contact people for the groceries for the food pantry, who works at the grocery store, that this contact person needed prayer. I've never felt that way before, and every time this thought was in my head, my thought, the next thought was, I don't think so. I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that. But the whole weekend was like that. So when I went in on Monday to pick up food for the food pantry, of course, I ran into this person, and I just said, well, here goes, we'll try. And I walked up to her and I said, I don't know if this is going to connect, but do you need prayer for something? This is the first time I've ever done this. I said, do you need prayer for something? And the look that she gave me was kind of like, oh, why are you asking me this? But she said, I can't believe you're asking me this. Yes, I do. And then she started to tell me how one of her kids was sinking into drug abuse. And she got really tearful and started crying. And I was so amazed that she said yes that I didn't have anything to say to her. And I was really embarrassed that I didn't have any words for her or any thoughts for her. And I said, well, I'll pray for you. And that ended the conversation. But I felt awful. And that was on Friday. That was on Monday. I went home, thought about it all day, prayed on it all day, all night. Woke up at 4 in the morning finally, thinking about it. And all of a sudden, the words were there. And it was very simple. It was, don't give up hope. Don't stop believing. Just that's all you need to tell her. So that was Tuesday morning at 4. I happened to be on the other side of the bridge, and I thought I needed to go in and share this with her. So I went in Tuesday morning. Of course, who's the first person I run into? It's her. And I said to her, can I talk with you for a minute? She said, sure, as long as you don't make me cry today. Great. So I said, well, I woke up this morning. I said, I left yesterday. I felt terrible. I thought about it all night. I woke up at 4 this morning. And the thought that I had for you, or the message that I got from God was, don't give up hope. Don't stop believing. I said to her, it took over 60 years for the Holy Spirit to connect with me. So we'll pray for him, and we'll hope that that's what we'll do. We won't give up hope. And she seemed very comforted with this. That was about 2 weeks ago. Hadn't heard anything else since then. And then this week, I just got a text from her. And the text was, how do I get him into an inpatient rehab unit? Now, I hadn't talked to her for a week and a half or seen her for a week and a half, but that text came to me. I don't know how to do that. I don't have a clue how to do that, but I have some friends who I could reach out to who I texted, and within 15 minutes I had an answer for her, and I was able to get the information back to her. So that's where we're at now. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. It was very nerve-wracking, but when it happens again, if it happens again, I got this experience. Thanks for letting me share that.
Isn't that beautiful? We give glory to God for that. See, that's you don't have to put a big fancy category on that. No, God gave him a message, a word. And he acted on it. And it's his first time, as he said. It was a little nerve-wracking. You see how God wants to use us? He's just ready and waiting to use us if we will just give ourselves to Him and say, Lord, use me. I am ready. I am willing. Show me my gifts. Show me my passion, Lord. Show me my ministry. I am ready. I am willing. Lord, use me. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be used of the Lord to give grace to other people? Oh, there's such joy in it. And as we do that, God takes that and uses it in those people's lives. He raises them up. He encourages them. He challenges them. You may not be able to get them through the whole Romans road and share the whole gospel with you're planting a seed. And God takes it. He waters it. He grows it. And it comes to fruition. It comes to harvest. Let's use our gifts. Let's let God use us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and be in a moment of prayer. Father, we praise You and thank You for the gift of Your Spirit in us. And as we have read Your Word today and heard by testimony, Lord, You want to use us in miraculous ways and in normal ways. And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult. Lord, You want to use us. Lord, we open ourselves to You. We ask, Lord, use us. In your heart right now, can you just say that to the Lord? Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Show me my gifts. Show me the way that you want to use me. And let your grace come out. And then right now, I want to speak to those who have never started a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is a day to start that relationship. If you are feeling God call you to come to Him, then just reach out to Him. Say, Lord, I want to know You. I may not understand all this, but I want to know You. And I take this step towards You. I open my life. I ask You to come in. I invite You to come in. If that's you, do that right now. You can pray a prayer like this. Lord, I invite You in. Please forgive me of my sins. And may Your Holy Spirit come in and give me new life. I want to walk with You, Lord, through this life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I invite You in. If you pray that, if you'll do that, God will begin a miracle in your life. Just like He's done a miracle in so many, many lives here. Thank You, Father. Thank You for working. Thank You for speaking today. I pray a blessing over Your people. I bless them to go forward to be the body of Christ, to be the grace of God in this world. The Lord watch over and keep us safe. I bless you in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said. I want to invite you to check out the ministries that are available to you to get involved with. If you need prayer for any reason, come on up front. God bless you all.